Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. I am extremely grateful to Allah Ta'ala that this humble person who is not capable, surrounded by sins and nafs and shaitan, Allah Ta'ala saved us from the nafs and shaitan, and Allah has given me some moments that such pious and salihin and upright and righteous people and brothers and ulama ikram and respectful scholars, Allah Ta'ala has allowed me to sit in the company of such great personalities. May Allah Ta'ala, due to the barakah and blessings of this gathering and due to your sohbat, due to your company, may Allah Ta'ala forgive me. May Allah Ta'ala forgive all of those in this gathering and everyone in this gathering. I just want to request one thing. Nothing special is in my mind, no pre-selected subject matter. There's an example that's coming into my mind, inshallah. Please listen to that example in detail and with focus. Before we go towards any discussion, I would like to request that Allah Ta'ala has given insan ability, that somehow you take benefit from something, or from that same item you can take negative effect. You can have a car, an expensive car, if you don't look after it, you spoil it. If you have wealth, you can just waste it, or you can benefit with the wealth and the car in this world and in the hereafter, both. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala has given me and you this ni'mah, treasure, this time, this moment in time. We are all gathered, collected together, sat down, and we have no special objective, or there's no special invitation with regards to the world. We're not fulfilling some tradition or custom. Just you coming here and us, me, you all sitting here is one objective that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He make our majlis such a gathering that it becomes a means for our akhirah. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Otherwise, if we waste this gathering, then it will be as if it will become like a twig, like a speck of dust that has no value. But if we value this gathering, and for that reason that Allah Ta'ala has gathered us together and we attain that objective, then most definitely, guaranteed, we'll get the high, high levels in Jannah Paradise. What do we need to do? First of all, every person should make intention. I don't know myself, what does Allah Ta'ala want me to say or do? I make niyyah with you, together with you, that Allah, whatever beneficial word, obviously we will have beneficial words discussed and exchanged, and if they reach to me or you, then we make niyyah to Allah, we make intention, that Allah, all those words, alhamdulillah, amlan, practically will bring them into our lives. And the second point is that alhamdulillah, practically, amlan, physically, practically, if we are attaining, receiving something in this gathering that can improve and change our lives for the better, then we should attain that. Do we make this promise, brothers? Has everybody made this niyyah? Okay, let's continue then. And let's see what Allah Ta'ala makes us speak about, discuss what we receive or attain or learn, etc. One example has come to my mind right now, that we all, mashallah, have a link with something in our everyday lives. Either we live in a house, it's a house on rent, or it's your own house, a personal home. We live in a house, isn't it? Or in a building. So in everyday life, we have problems with the houses that we call repairs and maintenance of where we live. If you have a house on rent, you get a problem. If it's your own home, then you have more focus and attention on the house. Small little things we ignore. Okay, I'll fix this. That's all right. I'll put the paper on it, or I'll decorate this, or etc. And at home you get pressure, do this, do that, we'll improve it, I'll fix it. But sometimes an emergency arises that is difficult to delay that. The person gets stuck and he says, oh, quickly, I need to solve this problem or crisis in the maintenance of them. For example, you go to do wudu and you open the tap. In Urdu we say tuti, the tap. You open the tap and you see the water is dirty water coming out. You get angry, I've come to do wudu, how comes dirty water is coming out? Then you try again after a while, you keep it open, but the water continues to flow dirty. So me and you, let's imagine that it's happening to us, personally. And then you go to the other washroom, bathroom, and the water was okay, you did wudu quickly there. But you have a concern concern and a worry that that bathroom, there's a defect, need to fix it, I need to repair it. So he phones the engineer or the tradesman, or please come and check that there's dirty water. The plumber will be called from which place, which bathroom is dirty water, and he checks. He says, oh, okay, fine. You know, there's a pipe on the side, it's spoiled, I need to repair it. He comes, he repairs the pipe, changes it, takes the money, puts it in his pocket and goes. Then with another person, he gets the issue. So he opened one tap, dirty water came out. By chance, there's another person, similar situation. When he goes to the other bathroom, to the other toilet, bathroom sink, and there was dirty water coming out of that tap, went to the third one, it was correct. Then he called the engineer, plumber, and this is the second event, incident. The engineer comes, the plumber, and he comes and checks, and he goes, these two pipes are defective, and the water is getting contaminated, I'll repair this. He repairs both pipes, and the water comes out clean. So all three are now working, functioning properly. By chance, what happened is a third person, the first tap open, dirty water, second tap open, dirty water, third tap open, dirty water, kitchen went all dirty water, and all the pipes and the taps in the house, dirty water was flowing out. He called the engineer, the plumber. He said, what's happening here? All dirty water is flowing out of my taps. So the first plumber, he repaired one pipe, one tap. Second plumber, he opened two pipes, replaced them. The third plumber, he says, this is not your taps or your pipes, this is something else. Because every tap, every pipe is giving off contaminated dirty water. I need to do a bigger repair job. He said, what's the problem? What's the reason? It's not the pipe, something else. I need to delve a bit deeper. Where's your water tank? Where's the water tank? He said, oh, it's in a certain place, or it's up there. He said, let me check that, the water tank. So he checks the water tank. He says, this is the problem, that the tank, it's contaminated. The supply to and from the tank, before there were taps, defective or pipe pieces or lengths of pipe. He said, this tank is spoiling your water. The tank has got a defect. And all the water that flows out, whatever tap you open, doesn't matter what water will flow out, dirty, contaminated water. Because the source, which is the tank, is different. He said, look, this is a bit of a big job. It'll be a bit expensive. Take a bit of time. So I need to clean your tank out. He was an engineer, plumber. He had the chemicals for washing. He had some lotions and tools. The engineer, the plumber, he spent 30, 45 minutes, put the lotion in, etc. He said, now try. Whichever tap he opened, pure, clean water was coming out. And like mineral water, it was flowing out, gushing out. You can drink and have a bath, and you can make food, and happiness flowed through the house. If someone's having a bath, all week long they had lost water. Water was dirty. Now they're utilizing that water. Subhanallah. So this is an example that we can relate to. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran that your dhahir and batin, purify it, clean it. Subhanallah. Your dhahir and your batin should be clean and pure, Allah Ta'ala says. Shouldn't be dirty. External and your internal should be clean and pure. Now, our hal, our situation is that every tap of in our body, dirty, impure water comes out. The eye is a tap. Yes, this is a tap. The eye. The eye does zina, does bad actions, looks towards haram, looks at unlawful things, so dirty water will come out. The mouth is also a tap of the body. When we open the tap of the mouth and dirty, impure things come out, may Allah forgive. The kalimat, speech of shirk, emanates from the mouth, and dirty, discussion, words, and all of the impure and dirty discussions, they come from the mouth of the person. To this extent, that the taps on our body, the organs of the body, the hand and the feet and the eyes and the ears and the mouth, and there's destruction upon destruction, loss upon loss. We misuse our bodies, we abuse. So what will be the hal of that body in the hereafter, from which that no clean water is coming, flowing or emanating? None. That with such dirty water, that every organ or every tap, dirty water is flowing out, that what will be the death of that person? What will be his conclusion? How will he give the answers to the questions in the grave after death? And how will he be presented in the court of Allah, that person? Which door of paradise will open for that person? There's water. Just like the water was coming out of that tap, but he couldn't utilize that water. Dirty water coming out of the taps. He's got amal, he's got deeds. But just like the dirty water coming out of the tap, all the amal are spoiled. The amal have been spoiled and contaminated. Our salah is contaminated. Our fasting is contaminated. Our ibadat is contaminated. Our recitation of the Quran is contaminated. Our hajj and umrah is contaminated. Water is there, just like the water was there coming out of the different taps and pipes. It was dirty. It was impure. Nobody could drink it, use it, utilize it. So we are doing amal. Deeds are being performed by the parts of our body, but they are impure, contaminated. Because Allah Ta'ala won't accept them because they're this dirty water, dirty ibadah, contaminated ibadah. Something we need to worry about, my brothers, friends, 2 minutes, if not 5 minutes, at least 2 minutes, let's analyze our lives and think, that is the right pure water coming out of our taps? We need to think. I've explained to you that don't go towards amal, don't go towards deeds, don't go towards salah. Water is coming out of the taps, there's no doubt. There's nobody here who doesn't pray salah, recite Quran, etc. Is there anybody here who after salah, who does not backbite? Is there anybody who doesn't get angry? Is there anybody who doesn't think negatively or badly about somebody else? Is there anybody who tries to avoid haram? Is there anybody who has got his tongue in total complete control? Is there anyone who doesn't commit a sin? No, it's impossible. Impossible. May Allah Ta'ala allow that we are all like this, positive and pure and good and upright, because we should be like this. So that's the akhirah. That everything will be exposed, right and left will be exposed. Allah will say, yes, today the deeds need to be separated. Allah says, those who are the mujrimeen, you be separate, and the good people, you be separate. So if we've got the fikr of the akhirah, if we've got the concern for the hereafter, if we've got the worry for the hereafter, and we have a desire, we have the yaqeen and certainty that maut will come, punishment will be meted out, and the severity of death is there. We hear morning and evening from the respectful scholars, and we read in Fazali Amal and in Tabliq, always this ta'leem, we sit and we hear, we're aware. And now it's not about listening. We need to analyze our own selves. That am I such a human being that my tap is the pure water coming out? Are my deeds pure? Is it clean and pure water? Is it that alhamdulillah when we go, Allah Ta'ala will straightway accept our deeds? Let's analyze ourselves. Why? Why do we hesitate? Why don't we do self-analysis? We can deceive the world. We can show the world that we are pious and friends of Allah. They thought that we were walis of Allah. But Allah is Qadir and Mutlaq, who knows the breaths of the human being, every single breath. So we should at least think, yes, that put your ibadah to one side. Put your worship to one side. I swear by Allah, 5 times salah, it should come out from our body, be performed a pure, without contamination. These 5 salah are enough to give us the highest level of Jannah, paradise. It's not necessarily you do 10 umrah, not necessarily you do 10 hajj, not necessarily you wake up all night. Allah Ta'ala has given us enough strength that 5 actions, the 5 pillars, we have to do. The rest is based on your strength and your ability, totally. So Allah Ta'ala says, if you do the compulsory deeds the way I want you to, the 5 pillars of Islam, if you implement them correctly, rightfully, then you bring those deeds to me in the right way. Allah says, what are you worried about? You don't need to go beyond that. Whatever daraja level you require, Allah says, I will give it to you. That we put our lives into difficulty, but we never understand that from our taps, what's coming out? What's coming out from the actions of our life? Is it dirty water, clean water? Think, my friends, think. How can it be? This is not success. This is not success. So we need to have fikr, concern, worry. We need to ponder. What did those people do in the house where the tank was giving dirty water? So the plumber, he came, he inspected, and he said straight away, that dirty water is coming out, I'll get ill. Did he wait before he called the plumber? He said, no, I can't wash my clothes, I can't drink this water, I cannot bathe, I cannot pray salah, my children will become ill. Did he wait? Did he delay? No, what did he do? When the contaminated water was coming from every tap, he telephoned the engineer, the plumber, please quickly, quickly come and repair this, I'll give you money. Please, I need clean water. So today let's think that when we have yaqeen, dirty water is coming out of our taps, the pipes, then should we not look for an engineer? Should we not look for a plumber? Should we not look for an expert? If we don't have yaqeen, that means we are satisfied with this life and we want hellfire, we have no fikr, we want adab, we have no worry. And this is such a big takabbur, state of pride, that the punishment for this is even more severe. That even though we know and we realize, I realize that I was wrong. Allah says, I kept on giving you a chance. I kept you in the world. I delivered the message to you. And you didn't come towards me. You didn't take a step to correct yourself. Oh, zalim, oppressor. You should have at least come towards my mercy. My mercy would have bathed you, cleansed you, washed you, made you pure. 100%. Allahu Akbar. And just for the tap, just you did a very small temporary repair. You were phoning yourself, calling the plumber for your tap, for your water. You thought the yellow pages, you looked in there, the address book. You were asking people, tell me a good plumber, refer him to me, tell me you were begging. But once you should have made niyyah, sitting in the corner, that my Rabb, I want to be correct and improved. That I want to change myself, improve myself. I want the good, clean, pure water coming out of my taps. Allah said, don't worry, you will stay where you are. I will send the engineer myself, the plumber myself, Allah Ta'ala promises. Allahu Akbar, He is the Rabb. How can Allah Ta'ala reject our desire? Is it difficult for Allah? Allah says that everything is easy for me. Is there anything difficult for me? If our niyyah is negative, wrong, and we are satisfied with our poor state of affairs in life, we are ready to do bad actions, and people in the world praise us and think we're good, we're getting halal chicken on the food mat, we're getting chapati morning and evening, we're getting a nice bed in the evening, our business is running, our children are growing up, we've got ease and luxury and comfort. It's just like the dirty water coming out. We have no salah, we got hajj and fasting, etc. Can it be the person who drinks that water will become ill, contaminated and infected? With these things will make that person ill and well. Is this not the case? Tell me. So if we do this, at least that we do a dua in the to Allah, that Allah, we are so weak, we are so incapable, shaitan has forced us not to move from our homes, our beds. Allah, please send someone good and pious here to my locality. I want to improve my life. Can we do this at least? No, we can't even do that. We can't even understand that. Why not? The Allah, I know that everything I'm doing in my life is wrong. It's incorrect. I go to salah. Then straight away after salah, I take this thing out of my pocket and I start doing such bad actions and sins. And it shows me such images that I cannot imagine. It spoils my salah, destroys my ibadat, my worship. I don't even realize I did ibadah. And if I got to that stage of my life that my hands have started to tremble and shake, there's so many illnesses. But even now the dirt is coming out of the body still. Then that is not khawf. That is not fear. That at least from the fear of Allah do the tears come out of eyes. I've spent my whole life in sin. At least even now there's sin in my life. And the person starts to cry. But even we don't cry that time. We have fikr and worry. What happened to my children? Why will this shop get sold? And will this house progress? What will happen to that business? I need to go to the hospital. Fikr is the same. Because this is the hadith. That as a person improves and increases his iman, and that's fine. But if he doesn't stop the dirty water, the contaminated water, then it makes the tank septic. To this point that when he's about to die in his old age, and the doctors have said, no, you're about to go, he's still got the love of the world at the uruj. What will happen to this and to that and to that? What will happen? What do I do? Do you understand what I'm saying, my brothers? Do you understand something about what I'm saying? These are the words I've come to share and discuss with you. I've not come to speak about anything else. Let's speak practically, amalan, practically, subhanAllah. So if our tank is contaminated, defected, and those resources Allah has given to us, and we contaminated them, spoiled them, then what do we need to do? Say loudly, our tank is defected. So what's the tank of a Muslim, of a believer? From which tank is the water flowing out? From which tank is the fluid flowing out? It's the qalb. The qalb of the insan. It's the heart of the human being. Physically we see this. Physically. The blood flows, the fluid of the blood flows through the veins into the heart. And then it goes through the valves. And it doesn't go into any other organ. So all of that tank, the tank of the heart, it allows the blood to come out. So we do wrong with our eyes and do zina. We lie, we commit sins. Where's that water come from? Dirty heart, water's coming out from the heart, which is impure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He's given us all of this, He says that there's impurity and dirt and contamination. So has Allah ta'ala not educated an engineer, those people who are physicians, engineers, to solve our crisis? If there's an engineer, an architect, or a builder for a house, a building, so if Allah ta'ala has made paradise and such luxuries and comforts in the hereafter, has Allah ta'ala not sent His engineers to the world, physicians, to keep us on the straight and narrow and rectify it? Allah has sent many Subhanallah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he came to the world, Allah Ta'ala introduced three things to the people of the world. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْقُرْآنَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And remember, these are the three main factors that the Prophet ﷺ taught to the world. And the deputies of the Prophet ﷺ, this Quran and Hikmah, Sunnah. And third, تَزْكِيَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. So he is also the person who can clean out the tank. These are the deputies of the Prophet ﷺ. After the Prophet's time, these are the physicians. And if he opens an institute, he's called a mudarris. If he writes fiqh kitabs and hikmah kitabs, subhanallah, then he's called darul iftah. And hikmah the sunnah, the hadith. And if it's a person who's teaching the purification of the heart, then that place, the institute, is the khanqa. It's the khanqa, purifying the hearts of people. What are we doing? What are we doing? Just having the board, the signboard outside will not give success. You have to have practical amalan Islam. The tank is being cleaned at that time, subhanallah. That's called the khanqa. Not just by putting a signboard out, this is khanqa, and titles, no, long titles and signs, no, amalan. You can put a sign outside, khanqa this, khanqa that, no. Khanqa will be that place, mudaris will be that place, where uloom will be taught. Subhanallah. That's the madrasa, isn't it? That's a alim who teaches the ilmiyat. And where fiqh is being taught, fiqh, jurisprudence will be taught, that place will be recognized. And where the tanks will be cleaned, that will be the khanqa, where the hearts are being cleaned and purified. So, in the masjid, the color changes. When an alim comes and he starts to talk about ilm and knowledge, Quran, tafsir, then this masjid becomes a darul ulum. Subhanallah. And after some time, then another person comes, an individual. What link does he have with the deen, ilmiyat, with fiqh and jurisprudence, alhamdulillah, masail and questions and answer. Then when he speaks, becomes a darul iftah, a place of learning. And when a fakir comes, a friend of Allah, and he starts to speak, when he starts to wash and clean the tanks, then what does that, the masjid become? It becomes the khanqa. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So it changes, the phases come to the house of Allah. So remember, the phases, with the phases, the form, what we see in the masjid, the changes that. This moment in time, you sat in a khanqa. Subhanallah. There is no words from a darul ulum, no fiqh, jurisprudence. Here, we are here to clean the hearts. Allah. Say Allah. Subhanallah. Say again, Allah, Allah. Say again, Allah, Allah. This is a khanqa. MashaAllah. So my brothers, do you want to wash your hearts? Do you want to purify hearts free of charge? Do you want to clean your tank? Whoever wants to, put your hands up. Do you want to clean your tanks? And a person who is dirty, if you don't think your heart, your tank is dirty, then you won't wash it, will you? So brothers, do you want to clean your hearts, your tanks, then put your hands up? Okay, mashallah. So you've understood. I've just repeated these words for our improvement and our passion. So I see that you understand, I'm enjoying that. So that's our objective. So when will the tank get clean? When the tank is clean, how does the tank get purified? Because the engineers, just like the engineer came, he had the tools, and he repaired the pipes and the taps, and he had the resources and the liquids and the chemicals to clean the tank. So the person who cleans the tank, the heart of the body, Allah Ta'ala has also given them the tools and the resources to clean the heart, the tank. The subhanallah, with the chemicals they clean the tank, the water tank. And with the heart, to clean the heart, you can only clean the heart with the name of Allah, Ismizat Allah. Subhanallah, nothing else. Moreover than this, there's nothing greater than the name of Allah that can purify the heart. Allah's name is pure and it will purify the whole world. Allahu Akbar. And it will purify the world in such a way. Ismizat, the name of Allah. How it purifies the world. One individual whose tongue and his body, he committed so many sins. He was burnt. He was burnt doing zina. He's committing adultery. And he says that I can't leave zina. I can't leave adultery, I can't leave alcohol, I can't leave cannabis, I can't leave the sins. He can't leave alcohol, he can't leave haram earnings. And his whole body and his tongue is burnt with the sins. And he comes to the tank cleaner, subhanallah. Ismizat, Allah's name is so powerful, so effective, that when he learns the name of Allah and the name of Allah comes onto the heart, he is cleaned so effectively. Not just his body is cleaned so powerfully, so purified by saying Allah once, subhanallah, glory be to Allah. Then he becomes the tajilat of Allah Ta'ala, is the witness of Allah Ta'ala's name. That's how he's purified, the power of Allah's name. That's how he's purified and clean. And this is reality. reality. Suddenly in one go he gets the awareness, he knows that this is bad, I shouldn't do this sin, and he starts to feel dislike and distaste with the sins, because he's awoken now that Allah, for what purpose am I born in this world, Allah, how I pass my life in an impure, dirty way, how should I live my life now? Insan, the human being, with difficulty, Allah said, I created him, he had difficulty upon difficulty, there's no ease in this world, challenge upon challenge, test upon test, where's the ease? All lifelong can, you have to eat halal, look for halal, there are tests all night long, you should not look with your eyes at the wrong things or the wrong people, look at the test, after coming such an environment, alhamdulillah, from your tongue, no bad words should emanate, you should be saying bad about anyone else, you should have no suspicion on anyone, and Allah wants this, that you come back to me like this and pure, it's not impossible, Allah wants, if Allah wants this, then it will occur. Oh, verily it will happen. That human being becomes so pure, clean in his tank. He cleans it, purifies it. He gets the awareness of what are my duties? What are my roles? Just like when we go to the marketplace, we fulfill the rights of the marketplace. We stood at the shop, we fulfill the rights of the shop. When we come home, we fulfill all the haq, the rights of the house. The Muslim, he knows the roles and responsibilities he has in his life, and he fulfills all the roles. Home, family, father, business, marketplace, employee, and his tank when it's clean water, clean deeds come out of his heart. I remember an incident, an event I'd like to share with you, totally 100% genuine event I'd like to share with you. It's come to my mind. And it happened recently. That person's alive, mashallah. He's alive. In Pakistan, a person, an individual, he's young, and he's from a very rich and wealthy family. He's present, living. And he's very wealthy, rich, lot of money, wealthy family, dawlat. I told you, life is a mirage, a dream. And there was a small issue he had. He went to the doctor. He said, you've got to go to the hospital. And they did a blood test. They said, and the mouth, the jaws dropped. They said, you are close to death. It spread. You got the illness spread out throughout the body. And he was shocked. He was shaken. Totally true event. Recent. I won't say his name. It's not good to mention his name. And I won't say the name of the city. Now, what did he do? He said, what's happened here? And du'as, medicines, and actions, etc. And from every part of his body, from every tap, the water, from every tap, you could say, there were sins coming out, all the organs of the body, and he had all of the luxury, you could say, so-called, the enjoyment of the world, women, etc. And he was sat there, but engineers are present everywhere, aren't they? So somebody, they said, go to this person, this friend of Allah, and ask him to do dua for you. So he was an engineer, and it's not just du'as, but amalan you have to improve. He said that, please, I've got a problem, give me ta'weez. He doesn't give ta'weez. Look, let me tell you what you need to do. The tank cleaner, he goes to the root cause of the illness. The root cause. And he gives the effect. He said, Hazrat, I'm ill. I've gone to the doctor. They said, I'm about to die. My life's about to end. What should I do? Subhanallah. So the friend of Allah, he thought for a moment. He said, don't worry, don't shake. Allah, life and death is in the hand of Allah. There's nothing to be worried about. If there's death, it's death. If it's life, it's life. Okay, I'll give you some tarqib, a method, and just do amal on this. Practice this, and let's see what happens. So we'll do some wazifa, some practice, some implementation. He thought he's going to give me a ta'weez or some special potion. He said, no, just do tawbah, repent, and I will wash your tank. Say subhanallah, subhanallahu akbar. No ta'weez, no need to have an amulet. Just clean your tank, the heart. He said, tank? Clean my tank? He said, yes. What did he think at that time? He said, okay, clean my tank, whatever you need to do. If I die, what would I do after that? I can't do nothing. Just like I say to you, that do all of this X, Y, Z, you'll do this, won't you? That forcefully, but look at the kamal. Allah's name, how impactful is the nur, the light. That even if by force someone takes that learning, Allah Ta'ala puts the effect in it. Even then that person's pure, subhanAllah. So he said, okay, fine, please let me do tawbah. He did tawbah, he repented. Then the wali of Allah, the teacher, he cleaned his tank, his heart. Then he said, 1 week, 10 days, do this dhikr, do maraqabah, silent dhikr, do qalbi dhikr, and then come back to me after that. SubhanAllah. He said, okay, I'll do that for 10 days. And he said, don't need to go anywhere else, just do this, amal on this, practice this, and then tell me. After 10 days, that individual came back to the sheikh, to the teacher. He said, Hazrat, I'm here present. 10 days have passed. I'm doing maraqbah and I enjoy so much that even my salah has improved and increased, become so great. He said, I dislike this taste for sins. Is this because maybe I'm called for death? He said, no, this is not the reason. That if your tank was dirty, then even at the time of death, you'd be remembering the dunya. Though, get me, go to him, let me have this and grab this, take me to this amil. Even at that time, you'd be worried about the dunya. So this is the proof that your tank is now clean. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And your veins and your arteries will now allow clean water to go. Whether it's a girl or a man, a boy, a man or woman. If the tank is not even purified, it's still purifying it. And it becomes an ashik lavrola. Whose event shall I tell you? Recent event, I'm telling you. This same year, this same month, I'm telling you. Yes? Now I'm not telling you the stories of the pious predecessors because we're sat in this world. We talk about the walis wala from before. They look beautiful, sound beautiful. We think, oh, it's about them in that day and age. It's for them, Hazrat Rashid, I mean, Gogoi Sahib Rahmatullahi, Hazrat Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi. Okay, we'll learn, listen with love and we like it. But the question comes, oh, that was a good generation. They were good people, pious. They weren't sitting in England, were they? They couldn't have to do hard work like this. I'm talking to you about here, right here. Here, Quran, same. The same cure. The walis wala, the same, my friends. The generations will change, but the deen will not change. The resources will not change. The solutions will not change. Have courage, determination, be brave. Save yourself, your children, and your families, because death is running after us. It is running after us with speed. And we are running to the fire of Jahannam with speed. I'm telling you the truth. We need to divert that path. Divert that route. He said, this is not the reason. He said, okay, are you better now? He said, let me tell you, now your heart is open, purified. Now you know what's right and left. Let me tell you hadith now. With the Prophet ﷺ. He said, this is the cure. He said, now you've recognized, you've got an awareness, understanding now. Yes, he said, in the hadith, it is stated that some deeds, some sins of a person are such. Some sins are such. The friend of Allah stated that if that person, when he commits the sins, then what happens? All his amal, the deeds, they are wasted. Isn't it? Imagine all those sins. But if he does something good, then all the sins are wiped away. Hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that every word that came from his blessed mouth was haq, truth. He'd speak and he'd teach and educate. And we couldn't imagine, think that we could have any shak or doubt on his blessed and beautiful words. But even if we have no shak, but we don't have amal. So today we don't doubt, but we have no amal, no practice in our life. We're wasting time because the tanks are dirty. We are scared to say this. No, my tank's fine, we say. But we don't trust, but we don't do anything about it. So first we say our tanks are hard, they are dirty, impure. But we'll go on Hajj 10 times. We say, please keep the bed full length. Oh, and then I'll keep it. Then he leaves from the side and says, oh, you've gone to the Rawdah Mubarak. Don't you know that what a great disrespect it is that you're standing in front of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with not the proper bed? And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam dislikes. No, from the side they leave. But they'll go to the Rawdah Mubarak and stand there. Can there be any greater action of disrespect than this? Can there be any greater rejection than this? A Muslim is doing this. A Muslim, he is there in front of the Rawdah Mubarak and there are musical melodies from his ringtone, and he stood in front of the Rawdah Mubarak and speaking to people on the phone. We don't even know that are we the right Muslimin or not. Look at our hal, our condition. And when they come back, they're giving them necklaces of flowers, and they're eating dates and zamzam. I spend whole of Ramadan there, the whole Ramadan. Oh, friends of Allah, just do it once, and that's enough. And make a solid promise to Allah. And look after your presence there. And become so capable that when you go every time that you can hear Allah Ta'ala say, go, I've forgiven you. At least you should be like that. Allah gives that opportunity that, go, I've forgiven you. So at least we should create that circumstance that our tank should be so clean that labbaik we say, and the response comes from Allah that I've accepted your coming, oh my servant. Go time and time again. Rather, it's not necessary for you to go. Allah Ta'ala will say that my mabub, you will call out, why haven't you not come? That this individual, due to him, all of the hajj I had to make, he accepted. Such people, Allah Ta'ala calls himself. I saw my Hazrat Sahib like that. He went with the fadl of Allah to hajj. I swear by Allah. I sat in the masjid, he would go like this, my sheikh, to hajj. He said, I don't go myself. If Allah calls me, I'll go. I have no passport. 80 years old he was. He sat on a straw mat, my sheikh. And he had no money. 3-4 days, poverty, hunger, no food, no bread to eat, no chapati to eat, no roti. These were those people who sat at the footsteps of Hazrat Gongohi Ramdullah Alayhi. My sheikh, great sheikh, because he saw the genuine life, the genuine article, the genuine teachers, and he was brought up in the true, genuine khanka. Had so much tawakkul, trust in Allah, that I've got the desire that I want to go Hajj again next year. But he couldn't dare. The Hazrat, shall I buy a ticket for you? They were scared that maybe they'll get slapped in the face. That you think I'm asking money from you? If I tell me your hal, your condition. Look, my Rabb is enough for me. My Lord is enough for me. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Such great human beings I've seen in my life. I tell you the truth. Definitely go. But become like this. So we haven't even arrived there yet. And Hazrat would be there before us, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. And now who asked, Hazrat, how did you come here? That I saw you had no money, you didn't have a passport a couple of weeks ago, no ticket, no flight, forget about food, you got nothing. Hazrat Sahib, we sat there in the house of Allah, guest. We sit behind him quietly, didn't even ask. Doubt for a second, because he had tawakkal Allah. He knew that Allah Ta'ala loves me, himself he will bring me and see me down here in the haram. So when how would he sit? Now I'm speaking about Hazrat Sahib, I'll speak extensively. What do when we go? We go to pray salah, we look at watch, will I go and sit there? Let me go and sit there where there's no rush so I can go out quickly from the exit because it's time to eat, then I've got to go and lie down and come back for the next salah. What was Hazrat Sahib's hal? MashaAllah, I was a khadim, I swear by Allah, morning time, in the morning tahajjud time, before that, Hazrat Sahib would come out of his room, the khadim would be stood outside, and I would take Hazrat's musalla, prayer mat and hand. Hazrat Sahib was weak, 90 years old. I'd take Hazrat Sahib, walk along with him. Hazrat Sahib would go to one place, Ukran Yamani. All life long he sat in that front of that corner. SubhanAllah, the old memories are coming, I'm sharing with you. I would put out Hazrat Sahib's prayer mat. And Hazrat Sahib's prayer mat was stuck there in my whole life. I spent with Hazrat Sahib. I never saw Hazrat Sahib eating, drinking zamzam, doing nothing at all. He wouldn't eat nothing. I don't know which food of Jannah he was eating. That he was stuck there, adhered to that place. And Hazrat Sahib would come awake from Maraq by that time when Azan was being called at the time of Salah. Then his eyes would open. I never saw him do wudu. He didn't need to be wudu after Salah. He'd go into Maraqbah, meditation, dhikr of Allah again. And if Kaaba was in front of him. SubhanAllah, such great walis, wala would Allah not call them? No special action. I'm a normal human being who'd eat food like us. He had wife, children, everything he did. And all his life long he earned with his hand. He gave me nasiha that how dare you beware. Don't become a peer. And don't earn and ask people for the khanka to donate. Never do hisab. Murids are present here. 4 or 5 khankas. Never in my life did I know that how are they accounted for. Where's the chanda charity coming from? The money coming from? And now it's being maintained. Never ask for chanda, charity, donations. Nothing. Everyone sat here. Hazrat Hukam, Hazrat Sahib, your khankas will be made themselves. They will run themselves. You don't ask for wealth. Don't ask him for money. Don't look towards the finance. That don't spend your time with these things. And I listen to Hazrat Nasiha. Go. That's it. And teach people the name of Allah in the world. SubhanAllah. And whoever elevates Allah's name, then Allah Ta'ala elevates that person. Allahu Akbar. There'll be enmities, hurdles, restrictions. How dare you? Beware. And don't be greedy for this world. Remember, don't be greedy for this world. And your work will continue. The blessings will continue. SubhanAllah. So why will Allah Ta'ala not call those people who will have good thoughts, positive thoughts, than me and you? What are we? What are we? Our stomachs are different. They had different stomachs. Did his stomach not ask for chickens or halwa? No. Oh, today let me do a bit of fraud. Let me sign illegally. I've come to this country. Let me do a bit of fraud. Did he not know how to do this? Did he not? Could he not come to this country? Could he not open shops and markets? He said, no, I don't need anything. I just want the corner of Jannah that Allah Ta'ala has destined for me, made for me, subhanAllah. And permanent life of peace. Permanent. Where is he today? Where are they today? Our pious predecessors. Tell me, where have those people gone? The great personalities. What maqams in Jannah they must be experiencing. My friends, my brothers, this is the real objective. Whatever situation we're in today, Allah is kareem, merciful, that Allah Ta'ala with his fadl, he can improve our lives with better. But we need to clean the tank. So what did he do? When he opened his eyes, he said that look, he recited the hadith, this hadith of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that some sins are such that after committing those sins, that the previous sins they also, we said, tell me what hadith is that? He said that shirk, the first thing you need to remove. That if a person's tank is dirty, forgive me, Hazrat, I'm telling you the truth. Doesn't matter how many kalamats you recite, that person from his tap, dirty, contaminated water will come out from the smell of takabbur and riyah and shirk, because the tank is dirty. The tank is dirty. But we don't accept this. We won't admit, but this is the reality. This is the truth. Shirk isn't just that you worship an idol, a man-made idol. The biggest shirk is a person who prostrates to his nafs, his desires. How many times do we prostrate to our nafs every day? Regularly. So many times. So many times. This shirk. Shirk is such an action. Number two, ajeeb, since the Prophet has defined to us, backbiting. Backbiting, that we eat like sweet meal, matai. Ghibat, backbiting is such a severe sin that it burns and alights all the other amal that we've done before, the good deeds, it burns them, wastes them. Women folk mostly, they say, Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me. And in the same statement, that person did this, she said this, he did this. You ever heard about this? Have you seen that person? A person who does backbiting, then his previous so good deeds are wiped away, annihilated. Yes, so a person does such a deed that wipes away the previous deeds. When he sins, shirk and following the nafs, backbiting, rejection of the sunnah. The biggest rejection in the world is what? That we know that this is an action of the Prophet ﷺ. We said we can't do this. We have no need for this. This is not necessary. Where's this written? Where's this written? Mu'min, his shan is what? The glory of the mu'min. He doesn't seek, where's it written? Dalil, proof. He says, the Prophet ﷺ, how did he do this so I can do it the same way? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. When this passion and deep rooted desire comes, then the tank is clean. Because if you are friend with the Holy Prophet ﷺ, then Allah says, I am with you. That when this level of love comes, the Prophet ﷺ, what did he like? How did he do this? And what did he do? How many times did he do this in his life? How beloved was this to the Prophet ﷺ? He doesn't look, is it wajib, sunnah, etc. No. The Prophet ﷺ is proven he did this. That's it, wallahi, I've got love, I want to do this myself as well. Subhanallah, subhanallah. That the Prophet ﷺ liked imamah, all life long, I will not take the imamah off. What difference does it make to me? That I wear the libas of those people who don't follow the deen, my mother, father, children and our relatives, they all wear. The wrong time we say there's a pride, ah, mashallah, mashallah, look at this. When the Prophet ﷺ sunnah comes, then thousands of excuses in this country, that country, etc. How can this be? That, what about my job? How will I go with this libas, etc.? All lifelong, subhanAllah, excuses. And that person who's an ashik, whose tank has been cleaned, all lifelong he wears the imamah. Then in the same country, big jobs he is implemented with the same attire, same libas. Subhanallah. I know such a doctor who from a young life, he had the imam on his head. He became a doctor. All in his university, he didn't take off the libas, the imamah, number two. And when he went to practice today, so when I look at his life, that how many difficulties came, he said, I cannot take this off. Here's your job, take it. This is the libas he went in. And when he went to a foreign country, and to an Islamic country, a prime Islamic country, that we call an Islamic country, and we those countries that we love and run after, they said, if you want to stay here, then take this libas off. We dislike this imamah, this turban. And the Muslim is saying this today. Allahu Akbar, and they have got floods of wealth. They say this is against our way. This is not flood. This is the test of Jahannam. These people have got the test. When the time will come, their eyes will open. Because their tanks have burnt out. When they have this basis with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this relationship with the Prophet, who's one practice, Allah Ta'ala will forgive a person. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. He said that the Christian is that I want to work here. I've come with Allah's hukam. Then this libas will not come off. No way. And I will work here. And no, this is no person's father's country. This hospital doesn't belong to no father. I will work inshallah. I said, be steadfast. You will work there. And you will make others do the same as well. Allahu Akbar. He said, until tomorrow we give you a chance. I tell you today, recently, that we give you until tomorrow, we give you a chance. If tomorrow you come, I've taken this off, then you will have the job. Otherwise, after tomorrow, you will be released. You will not have the job. He said, let's see what happens tomorrow. He phoned me. I said, whoever's imam are you wearing? Turn to him. Subhanallah. So I sat in the masjid. I said, why are you asking me? Why are you asking me? Don't you have a link with the Prophet ﷺ, with your Nabi? Don't you know Durood? Durood Sharif, Dalim. When you recite the Durood Sharif, then all the angels will take your Durood to the Prophet ﷺ, and they'll take your pain and your heart to the Prophet ﷺ. But send the Durood. And share your thoughts with him and your feelings. Allahu Akbar, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. All night long he recited Durood Sharif. Rasulullah says he recited Durood Sharif. And this was the hukum. And he kept on reciting Durood. He was crying. Imamah is yours. Your Durood is yours. It's your choice. Do what you think is best. I'll go back. But I won't take this imam off. What happened then? Look at that decision. Islamic country that he's coming back. That at least I can wear my libas. He was coming back, leaving the so-called Islamic country. He said, I have to come back here to this country. At least I can wear my libas. Say, subhanAllah, how his tank was clean. So much tawakkal and trust in Allah. So much beloved to Allah he was. I swear by Allah, Ajib, this looks. He said, I went, and now I was just outside the door, and two bosses were stood outside. They shook my hands. They first said, forgive us. They said, today you must have breakfast with us. Forgive us. Whatever libas you want to wear, and you can work like this. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina. I tell you the truth. I'm not telling you made up facts, my brothers. This mother, you are sisters, daughters, they are growing up and we are afraid, if I leave this, I will get a job. If I do this, how will my daughter go? How will this occur, that occur? Then look at that insan. I speak about that person whose tank is clean. Whose tank is clean. So when they said, the pious elders said that they, what sins? And the fourth sin, he said, a severe sin. You must leave. He said that you must have mercy with each other and strengthen the bonds. When you leave bringing and forming the bonds, and you break the bonds, when you swear to your mother or your auntie or your uncle or your father and his relatives, and you tough out your cousin from your home, you have enmity with your relatives, and you are opposed to your relatives and blood relations, then at that time, that person, doesn't matter how many sujood he does, prostration he does, this is the principle and the law of Allah. Allah says, all your previous so-called worships will be wiped away. Allah says, that person, that he heard the four sins, the individual, what is the hukum for me, Hazrat? He said, the order for you is this. It looks like that now your tank is being cleaned, but your sins, there's something left which is severe, that you don't have the action of mending the relations. You're wealthy, so many years you haven't met your relatives. He said, 21 years I haven't been to my village. 21 years I haven't seen who's my auntie, my chachi, my cousins, except they said, go, 21 days you must go to that village, and every child you must serve and spend money on them, feed them, eat with them, ask for forgiveness. 21 days after that, come back to me, said the Shaykh. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And he understood. He learnt after 21 days. Allahu Akbar, he spent his money, he distributed money, he put ceilings on people's heads, he gave money to people to get married, he was wealthy, came back, he said, have you done this? Come back. He said, yes. He said, then listen to hadith first, the Shaykh said, so that you can get more taqwa. He said, I'm not speaking from my own self, no. He said, there was a sahabi, a companion, came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yaqeen, this is the certainty in the walis of Allah. They have, he said, I'm given done the same solution prescription to you. He said, oh Prophet of Allah, I'm weak, I cannot walk, I've got debts and I've got so many loans, what shall I do? The Prophet said, have you got anyone at home? You've got a sister, she's poor. He said, go, morning, evening, serve her, feed her, help her sister. Then after a week, come to me. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Nabi Sallam explained this, subhanallah. He went, after a week he came. The Sahabi came back and said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like an amazing miracle that from the rizq and earnings have come between the heavens and the earth so much, I'm amazed, I'm shocked. Allahu Akbar. That we have closed our rizq because our tank is dirty, we commit sins. You know, my shop's not running, my business not running. Oh, let's sign on the dotted line, take social security. Oh, come on, ya, let's lie, do this. And shaitan is taking us to that corner, he makes us happy. They keep on doing this and haram, your salah's a waste, your hajj is a waste, your Quran's a waste, your Ramadan's a waste. We'll die. And the tank is clean, we will not go towards haram. We will not go towards haram. He came back. He said that all of this is happening. He said, now go and test your blood from the same doctor who told you you're ill, you're about to die. So the Shaykh said, go. And he said to you, about to pass away, die. After 3 days, the result came out from the laboratory. And the doctor said, Hazrat, that, he said, the previous sicknesses all have been removed. Even that sickness has been eliminated. He said, there's that person. He said, you're not that person doing the blood test. Are you his brother, uncle? Are you tricking us? He said, no, I'm the same person. Just my tank has been cleaned, purified. Subhanallah. So my brothers, now we need to purify our tanks. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you want to change your tank? Improve it, clean it. Inshallah, all your sins will go. But we need to clean the tank. We need to make a solid promise, 100%. We'll do dhikr, inshallah. Whoever wants to wash his tank, then this khadim is present in front of you. And I'm not capable, I swear by Allah, that I'm not capable that I can change your tank, repair it, maintain it. I have no capabilities. I am like the dust. I'm not even like the dust on the base of your shoes. I tell you the truth. I have no strength. I have no skills. I have no qualities. You are azeem, great personalities. You are pious and respectful people in front of me. But because I have a technical job, I'm a technician and I've got a skill. So I've come here to exercise my duty. I'm not better than you, Afsal. It's not the case. You are mu'tabar, respectful, capable, great people. How can I dare to speak in front of you or tell you anything? I'm not saying I'm Afzal or great. Astaghfirullah. I'm lofty. No, consider me a khadim, servant, or other sinful person. Yes, and accept my request. Inshallah, the duty I've been given, and whoever gave me that duty, my trainer, I tell you professionally, your tank will be cleaned 100%. I guarantee this. That's it. That's all I have to say. So will you wash your tanks? Brothers, so how do we wash the tank? Okay, let me explain. Ism izat Allah, Allah's name, will recite. Dhikr of Allah will do. This is wala dhikr Allahi akbar. Why has Allah said this? That every solution is due to the dhikr of Allah. That when the Mawlanas, when the scholars say, Ala, Ula, Ula, Dhikr Allahi Akbar, we say this in the end of the khutbah and jummah. Every imam says this in the khutbah, but nobody does dhikr. Astaghfirullah. Why? Brothers, we're saying, Ala, Ula, Afdal, greatest is what? The name of Allah, the dhikr of Allah. But we don't do it. Why? So Allah Ta'ala seated you here today. So sit here regularly. You come here for one day. Every day we do dhikr. Look at the kamal, beautiful miracle. Then look at the hal today. Subhanallah, the result. The previous generations, it happened. The people would be seeking places to wash their hearts, khankas. Where are they? Many miles they travel. Today the hal is what? That we knock on the doors. Is anyone here? Do you want to wash your heart, your tank? We're here to clean. Subhanallah. So much drought there is in the world. This is the sign of Qiyamah. That when Qiyamah will come, this will be the drought. That no man will be there present to do the dhikr of Allah. Willing to do the dhikr of Allah. This is the state of affairs today. If you have desire, passion. Today we have passion, desire to do what? The person's got a gathering there. Every morning and evening would be in Zakariya Masjid. Morning and evening. After Fajr we have the majlis, the same mahal, same gathering. The same love we should have, the same amount of people. The whole gathering should be there. So, then I'll say that, Ya, the world has changed. Dhakireen, Qiyamah cannot come. Day of judgment cannot come. Then see that in our homes, prosperity, and how our countries will improve, then see everything will improve, and the dunya will be looking at us with improvement, with interest, and this is the love that we need. Is this not love? Subhanallah, totally, this is the love that we need. But we don't know what is dhikr, and we don't know how to make effort and sacrifice. We know a person called this sheikh, and listen to his words, and he goes beyond, and he goes, that's it. I'm not such a person. I will tie your legs and go, that will not go. I will put your love into your hearts, that definitely you will come to Masjid Zakariya, definitely. Subhanallah. And you'll sit in dhikr of Allah. Will you sit? Inshallah. Not for me, for who? For your Rabb. For your Rabb. Allah saying that, are you alive or are you dead now? Then, if you will come for the first time in the Skoda car, I swear by Allah, with the fadl of Allah, I will give you a BMW to come in, subhanallah. Yes, the fakir, you're seeing the many rich people, millionaires sitting here. Look at their cars, it looks like they look like fakirs, but mashallah, it looks like they're so wealthy. Why? What business did they do? That I know the generations, four or five generations that have come to me, the fourth, fifth generations, the fifth generation is born today. I was saying this yesterday to you, that this is not some new way, fakir, fukara, who didn't know how to eat. I said, start saying the name of Allah, you become millionaires. I swear by Allah, they become millionaires. Allahu Akbar. Their businesses and their homes, prosperity, their shops, everything. What do they do? Allah's dhikr. The name of Allah, they recite. So Allah Ta'ala gives the world, dunya and akhirah. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala's love put into your heart, we get everything from what? Wala dhikrullahi akbar. Subhanallah. So brothers, dhikr, that's what we need to do. So whoever I say to you, do you do dhikr, put your hands up. Yes, we do tasbihs, I read subhanallah. Everyone does tasbih, everyone has a tasbih in hand. Is this dhikr? Is this dhikr? Will this clean your tank, your heart? No, it's not necessary. Allah Ta'ala said, there's a proper solution. That for example, you said, this person is my wife, she serves me, and you put the morsel of food into her heart, into her mouth. Is this dhikr? Is this dhikr? It's not, is it? You're going to earn money to your shop, you have a niyyah that I will earn money, I will rear my children, I'll give them tarbiyat. This is not dhikr, is it? The dhikr I'm speaking about, this is dhikr of ism zat, Allah's name, personal name. It's not recited from the mouth. The lips are sealed. The tongue is not moving. The dhikr that you do from the mouth, it will just stay there. It will not get to the tank. It will not go beyond your throat. It will take too long to get to the heart. This is called jahir dhikr, loud dhikr. Verbal dhikr, that's why kalbi dhikr, the dhikr of the heart, is 70 times greater. 70 times greater. Allahu Akbar. Shall I give the example? That you must have become ill at some stage in your life. Go to the doctor, say, doctor, look at me, I'm ill. Doctor will say, there's two solutions. Either you take tablets, then it'll take 2 weeks to be cured. It'll go inside into your system through the bloodstream, go into the stomach, then into the different organs, and then it will have an effect. The second solution is injection. Immediately the chemicals will go into your bloodstream and give you a rapid impact. So injection, soon as this mizat, name of Allah, will go into your heart, it will make your whole body effective and impactful. Subhanallah. And it will make a difference. It's called maraqaba dhikr qalbi. Dhikr of the heart, this is the name that the Sahaba Kram used to do, the noble companions radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do, that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu used to do, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu used to do. What did he do? They used to close their eyes, Allah, 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 in their hearts. As Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha says, the ajeeb, beautiful habit of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yathkuru la kulli aini, subhanallah, that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my ajeeb, unique habit, that in my life I saw no second of Hazrat, my great Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he didn't do the dhikr of Allah. This was Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, the Ummul Mu'mineen, even in the toilet. That with the tongue, no, you cannot do tasbih in the toilet with the tongue. This is bi-adabi, disrespect to the Imam. So how can you do dhikr in the lavatory? Everything stops, the tongue stops, but your heart shouldn't stop, should it? No, the heart can call out to Allah, and even there you're a dhakir. Subhanallah. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala said that not a second do I want a person to be ghafil and ignorant of me. Because if we are ignorant of Allah Ta'ala's name, then that person has passed away. Are me and you alive? I won't recite the other hadith. I mean your life. Life is with the name of Allah. And Allah has given us the status of Ashraf al-Mukhluqat, the superior form of creation, the best of all animals, because we'll remember Allah every second. And Allah says, the person who doesn't remember me every second, he is passed away, dead. He cannot be alive. And I'll give him food like the dead. He has no life. And he'll get life at that time when his heart every second will say, Allah, 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 Allahu Akbar. Yes, so put your hands up. How many times does the heart say, Allah, 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 Allah? We are drowned, destroyed. Oh, and this person's up, this up in that country. That's why Ummah is destroyed. It's happening this here, Sham, here, there, and everything. We have lost, but we don't see ourselves that to do the right action. Let's remember Allah, remember Allah, remember Allah. Alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim. What a great, great definition of how to do dhikr Allah has given to us. Allah says, not a second of your life should pass without my remembrance. Even while you're sleeping, you should not be negligent on my dhikr. Your heart is alive now. I want to see that you do dhikr every second. Your wujud, your body maybe not, but your heart should be attached to me. Allah Ta'ala says, your heart. Your Nabi says, and taught you Quran, he taught you the hikmah, the sunnah, he taught you everything. And your Nabi, subhanahu wa Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taught us, don't be ghafil from the name of Allah. Otherwise you'll become like the people who've passed away already, even though you're walking around life. So will you learn the dhikr of the heart? So you have to teach your heart tasbih. Not tasbih, you recite tasbih, Quran tasbih, read kitabs, etc. Tasbih. This tasbih doesn't have the impact. But if you don't go to the wali of Allah, you cannot learn the qalbi dhikr, the dhikr of the heart. You have to learn it from a shaykh. First, it'll make your heart alive. It's called latifa qalb, then latifa ruh, then latifa sar, latifa akhfa, then latifa, after latifa akhfa, he'll make that alive, then latifa nafs, and latifa qalbi will also be made alive, subhanallah. And when these seven lataif will be alive, then everything in your heart, in your body will do Allah, 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 subhanallah. And when all of this starts, then Allah will say that this man is a mu'min, he loves me, and I love him. Allah says, he loves me, and I love him, subhanallah. He doesn't forget me, how can I forget him? This dunya, and the dunya hasn't forgotten me, so how can I forget him in the grave? So today we have time, do you all want to become like this? That's it, doesn't take time. You don't need to give anything away, same life, eating, drinking, sitting, waking, same Quran, everything normal, nothing diminished, nothing evaporated, not one square inch difference to your life, not one square inch. This is the sunnah ilahi, that you should live in the world amongst your wife, children, give time to them, run your business and money, eat, drink, sleep, but don't forget me, Allah says, don't forget me, Allahu Akbar. I'll give you more, don't forget me, Allah says. So is Allah Ta'ala made us a small promise? Once, twice, three times, four times. When dhikr is happening, yes, subhanAllah, when you do the four marriages, all four will be dhakira, the children will be dhakira, there'll be walis and kutubs, because Allah has given ijazah, and that Allah Ta'ala has given open permission. You do that, you've got enjoyment in the world, but don't forget me. Fadhkuruni yadhkurukum. Enjoy yourself in the world, and I'll give you the enjoyment, Allah Ta'ala says, but don't forget me. As Allah said that when you become a dhakir, you can't get married. When did Allah Ta'ala say that if you're a dhakir, you can't eat chicken? When did Allah Ta'ala say that don't eat halwa? When did Allah say that don't eat roti? Who told you this, you can't do this? No, nobody. Yes? So look at ourselves. Remember Allah, eat, and enjoy permissible things. Will we do this? There's true promise, says the fear come out. Whoever's scared, tell me again so I can take the fear out. Anyone here who's afraid, you don't need to float in the air. Nothing will happen to your brains, anything. It's not difficult. So easy. Allah Ta'ala says that when you read Quran, do recitation, talawah, during ta'aleem and tabligh, everyone's doing the work of the deen. But when you get an opportunity, you see you have 15 minutes, what do? You lower your head, focus on your heart, and in the heart, Allah, 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 without any movement of the tongue, you'll be feeling sleepy, and drowsy and kush will come. 15 minutes you'll wander into the next world, then you'll open your eyes and do dua and carry on in the dunya with your work. How long did it take? Tell me. How long? That does it take a lot of it from the tongue? If you do dhikr with the tongue and you do dhikr with the heart, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. There's effort, but there's no effort. Physical enjoyment upon enjoyment, enjoyment upon enjoyment, dhikr of the heart. Silent. No effort. Tank is clean. All the taps will open and clean pure water. Eyes, mouth, ears, and haya, and shame, and noor. Allah likes this. Depression will go, difficulties will go, and all the tablets will go. Everything will go. You'll be healthy. Subhanallah, there's peace at home. Everything, peace, satisfaction. Illnesses will come and go. Allah gives sabr and patience. He knows that Allah Ta'ala has wanted me to do this work of the deen. And then he goes towards other actions with sabr and shukr. He spends his life. Subhanallah. So will you do this, my brothers? True promise, 100%. Should we start dhikr then? After dhikr, we'll do this. Whoever wants to learn dhikr, no forcing anybody. Alhamdulillah, you are here. I've delivered the message to you and told you the truth and the genuine article of the solution. I've left no doubt, no space, no doubt. I've told you that everyone of us is ill, the defects we have, the illnesses we have, what is the cure, the solution, the prescription. I've told you all, it's in our destiny now. Whoever wants to attain the benefit, well done. Whoever doesn't, it's our loss. Okay, brothers? So, we'll do, everyone say together, inshallah. Will everyone be able to do it? Inshallah. Okay, we'll start to do dhikr. The method of dhikr is this, that for a little while we'll recite some kalamat, some Quranic verses, together with our new individuals here. So I'll recite and you'll recite after me, together, collectively, and we'll get enjoyment and satisfaction and peace. And after that, for a while we'll do silent maraqabah dhikr of the heart. And you haven't become a student yet of that dhikr, but no worries, when you learn it, and then you get more enjoyment after that, we'll do maraqabah, then dua. Then after that, that will be it, the conclusion of the event, the gathering. Shall we start? Okay.
Allahumma salli ala sayyidina maulana Muhammadin nabiyyil ummi wa azwajihi ummahatil mu'minin wa zurriyyatihi wa ahli baytihi kama sallaita ala ali ibrahima innaka hamidun majid wa sallim tasliman daiman abadan kaseeran kaseeran kaseera. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وأمدنا كل ذلك عندنا. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان. وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم إنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. 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 يا قاضي الحاجات اقضي حاجاتنا. Ya Qadiyun Hajat Ikta Hajatina Ya Qadiyun Hajat Ikta Hajatina Ya Dawfiyun Baliyat Itfa Baliyatina Ya Shafiyun Ramadat Ishfa Muradina Allahumma Afina Fi Badni Allahumma Afina Fi Sami اللهم اغفنا في بصري لا اله الا انت ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم دمر همهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم دمر همهما كما ربياني صغيرا
امين مولا اپنے فضل کرم سے اس مجلس کو قبول فرما ہمارے بیٹھنے کو آنے کو سننے کو میرا مولا قبول فرما یا اللہ جو نصیحتیں ہم تک پہنچیں اس پہ عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما ہمارے ظاہر باطن کو منور فرما ہمارے قلوبوں کو پاک فرما طاہر فرما منور فرما ہمارے اعمال کو سہلا فرما اے میرے مولا ہمارے سارے اعمالوں کو قبول فرما یا اللہ ختم سے خروج فرما اے میرے مولا مرنے سے پہلے سچی توبہ نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمیں ریا سے دور فرما مناوٹ سے دور فرما یا اللہ تمام باطنی بیماریوں سے ہمیں دور فرما دے یا اللہ اپنے قرب نصیب فرما اپنی محبت نصیب فرما یا اللہ جن سے تو محبت کرتا ہے ان کی محبت ہمیں عطا فرما جن اعمال کو تو محبوب کرتا ہے وہ اعمال ہمیں بھی نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا اپنے فضل کرم سے ہمیں قبول فرما ہماری مجلس کو قبول فرما یا اللہ ہمارے ذکر کو قبول فرما اے میرے مولا یہ تیرا وعدہ ہے کہ ذکر کی مجلس ختم ہوتے ہی میرے مولا ایک فرشتہ کی طرف سے اعلان کرتا ہے کہ جاؤ میں نے تم سب کو بخش دیا اے میرے مولا تم سب کو بخشش فرما دے جو یہاں حاضر وہ بھی جو میرے مولا سن رہے ہیں میرے مولا آن لائن سن رہے ہیں تمام عورتیں مرتیں پوری دنیا میں میرے مولا ان کے ساتھ بھی یہی معاملہ فرما یا کریم اپنے فضل کرم سے زندہ جب تک ہم زندہ رہیں تیرے نام لیتے رہیں میرے مولا ہمارا دل تیرا نام لے لیتے اس دنیا سے چلا جائے یا کریم یا اللہ اپنے فضل ہر برائی سے بچا ہر مصیبت سے بچا ہر عیب سے بچا میرے مولا جن لوگوں نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے جن عورتوں نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے جن مردوں نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے اس مجلس میں میرے مولا آپ حضرات سے ان کے لیے خاص دعا فرمائے اللہ ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرمائے اللہ ان کی مصیبتوں کو دور فرمائے اللہ ان کے گھروں میں سکون نصیب فرمائے ان کے جو کام اٹکے ہوئے ہیں میرے مولا وہ دور فرمائے جن کی اولادیں رشتوں کے لیے پریشان ہیں میرے مولا یہ بہت بڑی پریشانی اس ملک میں یا کریم ان کے رشتوں کو پورا فرما دے جن کی اولاد بگڑی ہیں میرے مولا تو اپنی فضل سے اس محفل کے صدقے سے ہمیں بھی سنوار دے ان کو بھی سنوار دے اے میرے مولا ہمارے گھروں کو جنت بنا دے یا اللہ ہمیں سکون نصیب فرما دے یا اللہ سکون کی نیند نصیب فرما دے یا اللہ غم ہو تو تیرا غم ہو تو آخرت کا غم ہو میرے مولا ہماری زندگی میں قرآن ہو میرے مولا تیرا ذکر ہو میرا اور تیری تبلیغ ہو میرے مولا اپنے فضل و کرم سے میرے مولا بار بار ہمیں ایسے مجلس نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا جن حضرات نے اس محفل کو سجایا میرے مولا جس میں اس نے محنت کی جن حضرات نے میرے مولا خاص طور پر اس کمیٹی نے جس نے میرے مولا اس مسجد میں ہمیں اجازت دی ذکر کی میرے مولا اس مسجد کو آباد و شاد فرما میرے مولا یہاں سے دائی بنا یا میرے مولا یہاں سے اللہ والے پیدا فرما یہاں سے قرآن کے حفاظ پیدا فرما میرے مولا پوری دنیا میں یہاں سے فیض پہنچا میرے مولا علماء کرام جو محنت کر رہے ہیں یہاں پر میرے مولا ان کی محنت کو قبول فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلیہ صحابہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون والسلام علی المرسلین الحمد للہ